gently lay your head upon my chest, and I will comfort you like a mother while you rest. The tide can change so fast, but I will stay the same in the past, the same in the future, the same today. 'Cause I am constant and I am near. I am peace that shatters all your secret fears. I am holy and I am wise. I'm the only one who knows your heart's desires. Your heart's desires. Tired and worn, let out your sighs and drop that heavy load you pull, 'cause mine is light and I know you through and through. There's no need to hide, I wanna show you love that is deep and high and wide. Constant and I am near. I am peace that shatters all your secret fears. I am holy and I am wise. I'm the only one who knows your heart's desires. Your heart's desires. Shatters all your secret fears. I am holy and I am wise. I'm the only one who knows your heart's desires. Your heart's desires. Oh, gently lay your head upon my chest, and I will comfort you like a mother while you rest.
I wish I could think of some way to say thank you as beautifully as you sang. So I guess you just have to depend that it comes from the heart. Thank you. That was beautiful. Many, 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 a whole lot of years ago, more than I can count with all four of my feet and shoes and toes and everything else, I was driving across Nebraska, and Isaac had given me Albert and Joyce's phone number. So I stopped in Omaha, thinking that Maxwell was just down the street, and called and told them that I was coming out that way. And I wondered if they would be willing to visit with me. And it was just before I joined the Church of Christ, and that's been 29 years ago, so it was a year or two before that. And that's the first time I ever met that I can remember, and sat in joy and Albert's home and cherished the moments that we had together. Interestingly enough, as I drove, I found out it was a little bit farther than just down the street. About 6 hours later, I think it was, or something like that, I started wondering, you know, I know Albert Layton Floyd. How am I going to greet him? I mean, do I hug him? Right there on I-80? where I'm going to meet him. So later in the evening, I got my courage up, and I said, you know, Albert, I was a little worried. I didn't know if I should hug you or shake your hand or what. He said, you're kidding. He said, I had the same concern. And I think our friendship has grown to where I'm honored that he counts me as his friend. First time I heard him preach was at a Missouri reunion in the old church. And I think I can give Albert one of the compliments that I think most ministers would love to hear. Two points that he brought up that night have stayed very, very true and important in my life. The first one, he spoke about the Word of God being sharper than any two-edged sword. And I remember the power and the conviction as he presented that scripture and that thought and how it impressed my mind. And the other one, he told us we had to quit playing church and become real. And I got to tell you, both of those have been important to me throughout my years. And so with that anticipation, I offer you a true brother and a true servant of God, one that has your best interest at heart, our brother, Elder Albert Layton Floyd.
Thank you, Bob. I, too, remember that day. In fact, we met at a restaurant just off of I-80, just outside of Maxwell, Nebraska. And I'm kind of a hugger anyway, so I probably made up my mind I was going to hug Bob. But I think he was really more worried about that than I was. Anyhow, I'm Jessica's grandpa. You know, that was the way the brother Jared was known. He was Jared's brother. I'm Jessica's grandpa. Thank you, Jessica. I'm a lot of other people's grandpas, too. Hi, AJ. I don't know if any of my other grandchildren are here or not. I was just, ever since I got here yesterday afternoon, I've been blessed. I was blessed by the preaching last night, by the humble message that Rick delivered to us. I was blessed by the song service and the prayer and testimony service this morning. There's a lot of people that I don't know here anymore. And there's a lot of people that probably look at me and don't know me that did know me because I'm an old man now. But the dedication that came out of the mouths of the people, young people that were counselors there at that church camp, just touched my heart. And I don't know if Adam's here. I don't know Adam. And I only know his name because one of the other sisters in her testimony mentioned it. But touched my heart, the dedication that he had for those young people that were in his house. And I just have to believe that he needs to prepare, that God would have a work for him to do. And I say that of myself and not of the inspiration of the Spirit. But I feel like that somebody that's got that dedication surely has a work to do for the Lord. In John, the 15th chapter, in the 5th verse, it says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, and the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. That's really what I want to build on today. You know, when you guys knew me last time, I worked for an airline. And then I spent the next 19 years working as a human resource manager for a company. And that's one of the things that you get with believing the way we do, you have to work for a living. You can't be a preacher all the time, and just like a lot of churches have people that are ministers. So the occupations that we have sometimes enter in and influence us in the things that we say and the way that we think and the way we present things. So having spent about the last 10 years, a big part of my time interviewing young people on college campuses for jobs, I want to say that I am, I guess, more impressed with the young people than I am discouraged. And when I see the young people in this church, in this congregation, and the things that they said in these meetings, I just thank the Lord for them. And I compliment you and hope that you'll hold that love and that zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and not let the cares of the world come up against you and drag you out away from it. We need you. We need the young people in the Church of Christ. So getting on to what my thought is, Jesus is the vine and we're the branches. And if you think about a tomato plant that you have, you've got the main, they'll call it a vine, it looks more like a stalk, but a tomato vine, you've got the branches that come off of it and they have tomatoes on them. And you can have a real nice looking tomato coming on if you break off that little piece between the main stem, that main vine. That tomato is not going to amount to anything. Jesus is the vine and we're the branches, and we have to stay connected. The growing power that flows from that vine through to us is the power of the Holy Spirit that we need in our life to touch us in every aspect of our life. In the decisions that we make, for choices for young people, in the occupations that they go into, the mates that they choose in their life, every aspect of our life is affected by the power of the Holy Spirit. And being connected to that vine is so important. So I was thinking about this, and you know, I've had too much time to think about this since Mike called me. That might sound strange, and I appreciate very much being asked to stand before you. But I've thought, and I've studied, and I've prayed, and I've thought about things, and you know, and I'd have one idea, and I had a main thing I wanted to focus on, and then other things are said, and this is really what I feel like God gave me as a message for us today, and I hope that it'll touch your heart. Let's say there's an advertisement in the Help Wanted section of the Kansas City Star that says, "Loving Vine has immediate openings for spiritual branches. Natural branches need not apply." There's openings in God's kingdom right now for branches. If you're interested in the job description is, if you accept to be a branch, if you accept this job offer, is that you will glorify God. That's the job description. If you take this job, you're going to glorify God. I told you it's human resource connected here. There's job requirements. You've got to be a temple of God. The temple of God, that's what you are. A temple of God that the Holy Spirit lives in. And when I thought about that, I thought, each person coming in here that has come through the door, been obedient to the gospel, had the hands laid on them, received the gift of the Holy Spirit, is a temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in them. And so each one of you sitting here, as you came in, you brought some of the Spirit of God with you. You're a temple of God. As we sit here, this many of us, think of how much of the Spirit of God is here with us because you brought that in. You're a temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells in you. You brought the Spirit of God in here with you today. And as we sit here together, there's a magnificent power associated with this influence of the Holy Spirit. So the job requirements is you need to be a temple of God. And you need to be dead to sin. And then you need to bear fruit. You know, that's the reason for the whole idea. Is you got the vine, you got the branch coming out here. You've got the power of God flowing from the vine out to the branch. And God wants it to bear fruit. How many times... Well, of course, I've lived in the country most of my life. But you see the picture of the county fair with somebody with a great big watermelon or a great big pumpkin that won. He had the biggest one of whatever variety it was, and he won the blue ribbon in the county fair. And boy, he looks proud. You know, I grew this great big watermelon, you know. I mean, I think of that. God would be so proud of us if we bear fruit. Just like a gardener is when he works in the garden and does all the things. I had to stop there and mention Irene's weeds. That was something else, Irene. But that's something that we don't want in our garden is weeds. But we want to have fruit. One of the job requirements to be a good branch. To fill this opening that God has that He's advertising for is that you're going to bear fruit. And I might say, you might think about why do you think you'd be qualified for the job? How would you help the vine? What do you bring to the job? Again, a little bit of insight on when you're being interviewed for the job. The person interviewing you really wants to hear not why you want the job so much, but what you're going to do for the company if you hire them. You know, it's the person looking for a job, they might just want a paycheck. And that's good. We all need them. But the person interviewing has certain responsibility for the company they represent to bring them somebody that's going to really help out that workforce. And so part of what that person that's doing the interview is looking for is somebody that's going to do something good for the company. That's what God wants from us. He wants somebody that's going to come in here and bear fruit. Bob was right. A lot of years ago, I remember that sermon too. I'm surprised. Well, I'm not really surprised that Bob did. I love Bob. He's been a good friend to me through the years. And we all need good friends. But when we're trying to be a part of this work, and in those years, this is 20 years ago probably, I was convicted that the sword of the Lord was hanging over us, as the scripture said. That we were a people that had a great responsibility because of the amount of truth that we had. And the place we are in the history of the restoration, in the restoring of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the holy priesthood, and all the things that we have. And I was concerned and convicted with what I felt like we were doing with that responsibility. And now I'm pleased to say that I am so thankful to see the outreach into Africa and the Philippines and Honduras and Yucatan and the places that we're going into. Not, I think we were in Mexico for sure even back at that time. I know we were. But these other places, we're going out into the world and reaching out and carrying this gospel out to the people. That's bearing fruit. You know, I just stand here and thank God and praise God that we have moved forward and accepted some of that responsibility and are carrying forth this message to the world. One of the things that was touched on last night a couple of times, not only by the speaker Rick, but by Well, help me out. The one that introduced him. Yeah, Alan. And I know Alan well. I'm just old. Was the fact it was emphasized that we had to resist. You know, the devil would be tempting us, and we need to resist him. That's found in James, that resists the devil, and he'll flee from you. If you're in a battle, and it's sometimes described that we are in a battle in this life, one of the things that you need to know is you need to know all the information you can about the enemy. And that's true in a battle in the real world. If you're going to go out and fight a war, you need to know all you can about the enemy. You need to have good intelligence, and you need to know what's going on, and you need to be able to deal with that enemy, not because you're overwhelmed or afraid of that enemy, but because you have knowledge about him. Well, I use pages in the Book of Mormon. I know some people don't like that. Page 137 in the Book of Mormon, verse 34. And this is a quote from Isaiah. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend unto heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, and on the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High." Okay, that's some real good information about the enemy. What's it say? It says he wants to be like God. Says he wants to ascend up to the high, to the Most High places. One of the things, when we're resisting, I'm going to talk a little bit about this because this is on my heart to share with you. And I don't want to offend anybody, because lots of people like to talk about all the trouble they have with the devil. And believe me, it just tickles him to death. Because we're supposed to talk about God. We're supposed to be talking about the good things that God does for us. How he blesses us. How he answers our prayer. How he heals the sick. All the things that God does for us that's good, that's what God wants to hear from us. That's like praises to God, that we're talking to him about the good things that he's done for us. Well, guess what? The devil's like a spiritual terrorist. We got a war on terrorism in our country. And we know a lot, we hear a lot about terrorists. A terrorist is an awful person. There's somebody that does a terrible thing like beheading somebody and then says, calls somebody up and says, "We did it. You know, it was us. Our group did that." And you think, most people would be ashamed of doing something horrible like that. That's the way the devil operates. He does bad things and he's tickled to death. People get together and talk about all the bad things he's doing. "Oh, I'm sick and I got car trouble and I got marital trouble and I got all this. Devil's really attacking me." Tickles him to death. Yeah, I'm going to bother them more. They're talking more about me than they are God. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a clue on how to deal with, it's good. It says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But it's good to know how. How are you going to do that? Well, let's say this. Every time that you're tempted to do something that you shouldn't do, right away start thinking about something good instead of thinking about that that comes into your heart and mind. Instead of letting it grow, instead of touching that door that's hot, start thinking, what's all the names that Jesus has? He's the first and the last. He's the Messiah. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Think those things. Think about, no, I'm going to count all my blessings, every good thing that's been done for me in the last year. Thanks for my job. Thanks for my wife. Thanks for my friends, whatever. When the devil attacks you, if every time he does that, you start thinking about God, you start talking about the good things Jesus does for you and all the blessings you have, you know what? pretty soon he's not going to bother you because he doesn't want to hear all those things. He wants to hear you fall into the trap, make the mistake, and then be miserable and say, oh, I'm such a terrible person. You know, I made that mistake again. Now the Lord don't even want to hear from me. No use in me praying. I'm so far from God that there's... That's what he wants. Don't fall into that trap. Resist the devil by when he comes against you. You think about good things. You think about the good things God's done for you. You think about raising up the name of Jesus. You think about any good thing you can. You sing hymns. You sing praises. You do whatever you can. And that is the best thing you can do to combat that attack that's going to come against you. No matter what age we are. But especially I want the young people to hear this message. There's a resisting him isn't just, I'm going to bow up and just be tougher than he is. You know, I'm going to talk to him and tell him that I'm tougher than he is. You don't need to do that. You know, I'm not saying you can't, but you don't need to do that. What you need to do is turn your hearts and your thoughts to God. Turn your mind to the good things, to Jesus Christ, and to your salvation, to what you have. Count your blessings. You know, it's good to do that. It's good to be reminded all the time of all the things God's doing for you anyhow. So if every time you're tempted to do something wrong, you start thinking, let's see, well, I'm thankful for my boyfriend. I'm thankful for the car I have. I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful for the Spirit of God in my life. I'm thankful that I got a good church to go to. I'm thankful my church has 12 apostles. I'm thankful my church has authority from Jesus Christ. Just start enumerating all the good things you have to be thankful for. I don't want to wear this out, but I really do want to leave this thought with you that there's more behind this scripture that says resist him than just thinking, well, I'm going to resist him. There's ways that you need to employ to be successful in defeating him. And I promise you that if he comes against you and every time he does, you use this strategy of praising God and bringing up the good things that God did for you, he'll flee from you because he doesn't want to hear that. He wants to hear you're defeated, that you sinned again, that you were weak. That's what he wants to hear. He doesn't want to hear those good things. You know, if we are the temples of God, and for those people that like to have scriptures, I don't read a lot of scriptures, but I'll give you some. To be the temple of God, you can find in 1 Corinthians 3:16. To be dead in sin, we're going to turn over and read a little bit about that from Romans, the 6th chapter. You know, when I read this, to be dead in sin, I thought, I don't know if I am. Now, what's that mean? I don't know. Am I dead in sin? I'm seem like I'm struggling with it enough that if I'm dead with it, that means it shouldn't even be bothering me. 6th chapter of Romans. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Good question. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Wherefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, and like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So the old man should be dead, sin should be dead, and we should be a new person because we're buried with Christ through baptism. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should no more serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died into sin, unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. 12th verse. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Well, that was the first clue when I started reading that, that the battle wasn't all over for me, that I wasn't just dead to sin. Because if it was, it would say I'd never be tempted. But it says here, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. You have to resist. Next verse. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. That's one of the things to be a good branch. You have to be dead from sin. So what's that mean? It means that you don't let sin come in, you resist it, and you don't yield to it. Verse 13. Don't let and don't yield. Don't let sin come in, and if it starts coming in, don't yield to it. That's what makes you dead from it, is your resistance to it. You're born again to a newness of life. That old man died. It would be nice if the old man died and we were never tempted to do anything bad again in our life. And if there's people sitting in here that have experienced that, I don't want to ask for a show of hands now, but when the meeting's over, I'd like to hear from you. But I think all of us struggle all the time with temptation. It's how we deal with it that's important. We don't let it succeed in our life. We don't yield to it. We resist it by whatever works for us. And I gave you a method that will work if you want to use that. That's strictly up to you. Remember that spiritual terrorist, Lucifer, that one that was cast out of heaven, he wants to be like God. So with that desire in his heart, he's very happy if we come together in a prayer and testimony meeting and everybody starts standing up and saying, oh man, I really had a battle with the devil this week. He did this to me and he did that to me. You know what that does? That just encourages him to come against you some more. That just encourages him to just be after you all the more, because he knows they're going to come to church in the house of God where they're supposed to be praising God, talking good things about God, and they're going to be talking about me. Because I was bad to them and they're just bringing it all up. We don't need to do that. Let's not go there. Let's come here and talk about the good things God does for us. I'm so thankful to see the people coming forward to be prayed for. It's so good to be a part of a church that believes those things. That when they're sick among you, they call for the elders of the church and they're prayed for and you see them blessed. It's just so good. We don't know what we probably do. I shouldn't say that. We just should appreciate all the things that God's done for us and given to us. And that's such a wonderful, special ordinance that God gave to us. I just really appreciate that. To that vine. What he wants from us is to glorify him. We glorify him through the fruits that we bear. If we don't bear any fruit, we don't really glorify him. He wants us to bear fruit. And I know you're all familiar with this. That's what makes it hard preaching to a whole group of everybody that knows more than you do. Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 22nd verse says, but the fruit of the Spirit, remember that power that flows from that vine, That life-giving power is the Spirit of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If they live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, nor envying one another. This is the fruit. If you wonder, what are we trying to grow here in this vineyard? Remember I said natural branches need not apply. You know, no use in that, because what's going to happen when the pruning comes? They're going to be chopped off. They're not bearing any fruit anyway. The people that are connected to the vine, not through their own power, but through the power of the Holy Spirit that flows from that vine, they're going to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. They're going to have those things. That's part of the fruit. I'm not saying that's all the fruit. Now, there's some people that don't want to start out as branches. You know, I ran into that when I was trying to hire people, too. A lot of people didn't want to start out on the entry-level management position. They want to start in as the manager over everybody. A lot of people say they just want to be fruit inspectors to start off with. That's all right. I mean, that might be an opening we'd have for somebody to be a fruit inspector. I hear that a lot when people talk about churches and things. They say, well, you know, I'm not going to judge them, but I can be a fruit inspector. Well, that might be good. Because we should have some fruit. We should have the kind of fruit that an inspector could come and look at and say, boy, that's where I need to be. I appreciated a sister up here. I don't know your name, ma'am, sitting right there. I think of through my life, of all the people I've tried to talk to about the gospel, and talk to them about the Book of Mormon, and talk to them about the things that we are so precious to us, and it just didn't seem like it made any sense. And here's a lady that had a vision, looked in a hole and saw the gold plates, and she was ready. You know, that's who we're looking for, people that God is working in their life like that. You know, so that when they hear the word, they say, that's what I've been looking for. 12 apostles and gold plates, and that's wonderful. I appreciate that testimony. But as we go out, and those of you that are out in the missionary field, and those of us that have had jobs and worked with people and talked to people and shared the gospel with people, you know, just don't find a whole lot of people that are just real glad to hear from you. It's a struggle. But the time of the Gentiles is winding down. And so what we need to do is realize that as we're doing here now, we're reaching out to the highways and the byways, to the lame and the halt and the blind. We're inviting other people to the wedding feast. And it sounds like they're hearing it. And they're saying, yeah, we'll come. We want to be there. And I hate that for this nation, because I love this nation. I love it with all my heart. I know it's a choice land above all lands, and that as long as we'll serve the God of this land as Jesus Christ, that we'll be a land of liberty, we'll be a land that's prospered. And that's the only thing that's keeping us, once that we don't have that anymore. Once that we have stepped that however far it is, that God finally says, that's it. My heart just breaks thinking about it. We have such a job to do here, and we can't give up. And what I'm saying, I don't mean to sound like giving up on this nation. I'm just saying, the sister blessed me this morning to hear from somebody that God had prepared. When she heard this word, she heard about this work, she was ready to come. It was what she was looking for. I'm thankful for people like that. There's always some little tidbits of the scriptures that just really fascinate different ones of us as we study. And I was fascinated by something that, I don't know, I just didn't expect to see it in the scriptures. And it's on page 115 in the Book of Mormon, verse 40. It says, cheer up. Well, that's good. You know, I mean, that's kind of the way we talk. Cheer up. You know, things are going to get better. Here it is, says 40th verse. Cheer up. Cheer up your hearts and remember that you are free to act for yourselves, to choose the way of everlasting death or the way of everlasting life. That's what it's all about. Nobody's going to force you. Nobody's going to make enough laws to make you righteous. Nobody's going to legislate enough things to make you be good. You might end up living someplace under some sort of a dictatorship or someplace where they try to force you into their way of life. But right now, we can cheer up because we're free to act for ourselves. We're free to choose the way of everlasting death or the way of eternal life. That's what we're down here. That's why we were given this allotment of time here, to make that choice. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak to you. And in closing, because I didn't say enough in the beginning, and I'm not trying to say this to make Bob have a big head, because he probably has one already. during the years that we were, and we have been out away from church locals, probably live more places than most anybody else. I don't know, I think Joy said we've moved 27 times since we've been married and lived in a lot of different states. But people like Bob that came by and looked you up once in a while and sat down and you opened the scriptures and you read things and you studied things together meant a lot to us, Bob. Meant a lot to us when you came by. I appreciate you. So those of you who are out and about and you have that opportunity to stop in and see somebody, don't think, well, they probably don't want to see me. Just think, yeah, they're probably anxious for somebody to stop in and see them and talk to them about the Lord. So take that opportunity, because I assure you, I have been blessed so much by Roland and Frank and Marvin and Edith and Bob. And the Bruners came and saw us one time up there in Nebraska. And Lois Harris even came up one time and saw us. And, you know, That meant so much to us. So think about that. When you have that opportunity, you're out traveling around the country and you have a chance to go by and see somebody that's away from the church, stop and see them. And to you young people today, I'm so thankful that there's so many of you here. Please remember, the main part of my message today is how to resist that evil one when he comes against you, and how not to fortify him coming back and back and back again by defeating him through praising God and talking about the good things God's doing for you whenever he comes against you. And you'll be victorious. And we don't need to bring him up all the time in our congregations, because that's what he loves, is that recognition, because he's a spiritual terrorist that wants to be identified for doing bad things. So defeat him through remembering the good things that Jesus has done for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, God.